from the Word of God. And we trust that the lesson will be of encouragement to us. Indeed, this life is filled with challenges. And, you know, as I listened to the prayer and participated in it, while we were giving God thanks for so many things, we realized that so many things happen around us. We do not live in a perfect world. And oftentimes, these pressures come at us, and we feel overwhelmed. And, you know, included in the lesson today is put it this way, we hope to encourage us in our journey that we can rely on the Almighty God. The lesson is really a continuation of the series that we have been on, where we have picked out, so to speak, the two words, not Iscariot, taken from St. John chapter 14 and verse 22, where inspiration took time out to indicate that when it spoke of Judah, it was not Iscariot. And we have been looking over the last few weeks on some things that we should not take from Judas. We have seen that we should not take money over Christ, or material things over Christ. We have studied and learned that we should try our utmost to not allow Satan in. We have seen the importance of self-examination. Today we want to examine an aspect concerning Judas Iscariot, and to put to us that he did not manage well his pain. He did not manage well his disappointment. And don't we all have pains at times? Aren't we disappointed many a times? Disappointed with how life is turning for us? Disappointed with relationships? Haven't we at points been disappointed with self? And I put it to us that Judas' situation is not really unique. That there are times when we feel disappointed, where our very action, our own action, shocks us, and we feel like giving up. But that does not need to be the reaction. Let us not react the way Judas Iscariot reacted. Not Iscariot in the way that we respond to pain and disappointment. Hurt, yes. But let us never get to the point. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5. It tells us, well, pick up for me at verse 3. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3.
Then Judas,
which had betrayed Jesus Christ,
when he saw that his action,
what he had done, caused Christ to be facing
the gallows, the cross, death. And may I interject that we need not be self-righteous, because each sin that we have committed, each time we have continued to exist in a state of disobedience to Almighty God, we are crucifying Him. We are putting Jesus Christ to death. But here it is that Judas, when he saw that Christ was condemned, read, repented himself
and brought again,
the 30 pieces, pieces of silver
to the chief priests
and elders. Sometimes our actions are really of such that we cannot take it back. But here it is that he did bring back the money, saying,
I have sinned
in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. And they said,
what is that to us?
What is that to us?
See thou to that.
These are the same persons who, when Judas came to them, they celebrated him. They were glad. They covenanted with him. They plotted with him. They were like, yes, we are your ally. But when his dark moment comes, what did they say?
What is that to us?
And so it is that sometimes our association with persons outside of the body of Christ, our association with denominations and other things that are anti-Christianity, that we long for and we yearn to associate with, that when our dilemma comes and we turn to them for support, that nothing is there. And they said, see thou to that. And verse 5.
And he cast down
the pieces of silver
in the temple. And departed. And went and hanged himself.
Judas undoubtedly had serious disappointment with what he had done. He truly repented. He was really sorry for what he had done. But Iscariot, yes, Judas, he did not manage that well. He didn't. And I want to encourage us, because we do not want to be self-righteous and say we are not Judases. We don't want to be self-righteous and say that nothing will ever happen that will shatter our belief system, that will shatter the very way we think about things. Because we all have our 30 pieces of silver. We all have the various things that will pull at us and will strive to take and to sap Christianity out of our lives. But this disappointment is not just something that we have seen in Judas. This sense of hopelessness is not something that resides only in Iscariot. We have seen this deep disappointment, this sense of hopelessness scattered throughout Scripture. Kings, like King Saul, he took his own life. When faced with a hopeless situation, he died at his own sword. 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 4. Probably one of the shortest living or existing king, King Zimri. In 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 18, we see that he determined and he killed his own self because of a hopelessness that existed with him. Can we have that one? 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 18.
And it came to pass.
When Zimri
saw that the city was taken.
When he saw that the city was taken. What's your city? When you see that you have lost out on something quite important, that may be your city. But when he saw that the city was taken,
that he went into the palace.
He went into the palace.
Of the king's house.
Yes.
And burnt the king's house over him with fire and died.
So here it is that this man, that he burned down the place and killed himself. You know, he was in a hopeless situation. We saw with the jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. We don't want to dwell too long on these, but do you remember the situation that he was in? He was charged to guard these disciples. And an earthquake came. And when the man looked, persons would say, you know, these are men of serious treason. This would be like Haiti. You know, you capture the people and you have the responsibility. And when you look around, you realize that you don't see them. His corner was dark. He felt hopeless. And he took out his sword to kill himself. We have hopeless situations that can impact us. But where we want to lead us today is that in the midst of hopelessness, that in the midst of challenges, we can rely on the Almighty God. You know, we saw in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 18, Revelations chapter 6 and verse 16, that persons in hopeless situation, you know what they did? They cried to the mountains, "Fall down on us. We are hopeless and we just want to die." But that should not be our state, because in Christ we have hope. Yes. In Christ, we have hope. You know, one more point on this. In 2 Samuel to this man, Ahithophel, in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23. And again, he depicts this sense of hopelessness that sometimes it at us. But what is our reaction? In 2 Samuel 17 and verse 23, it says,
"And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house."
Just in summary, you know, sometimes things don't go our way. Sometimes, you know, pride can be our downfall. And when he realized that his counsel was not accepted, and he realized that the end game was not going to be good for him, he felt hopeless, all right, and he killed himself. We face hopeless situations at times. You know, but as the word of God tells us and assures us, In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, it tells us that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. And so, when we reach our hopeless state, when it is that we feel that our backs are against the wall, when we don't know what to do, and the thought hits us that all is lost, let us recognize that in Christ, and I want to come back to that in Christ later, in Christ we have hope. You know, we can read that passage and miss it. You know, because it says, if in this life only we have hope. You know, which points to the fact that our hope does not just rest in the here and now. But the truth is that we should live in hope in this life too, but not only. So we want to reassure you, brothers and sisters, friends, that we have hope in Christ. And I want over the next few minutes to examine Scripture, to recognize that there is hope in God. That in God we have something to look forward to. In the midst of things that may seem hopeless, that we can look to the Almighty God, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, paints a picture of hope that we can have in Christ, in God. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Read as soon as you get there.
Fear thou not.
Fear thou not.
For I am with thee.
So here it is, that God Almighty is giving us an assurance. And I want to take this a little slow so that we can appreciate what we have. Read again. Start at the verse.
Fear thou not.
Fear thou not.
For I am with thee.
When you are feeling your hopeless state, fear thou not. That's a great assurance that we have from the Almighty God. What situation is it that you are facing that you might be thinking, I want to escape this world? But God Almighty, through inspiration, is saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear thou not. Why? For I am with you. So no matter what the challenge that you are facing, fear thou not, because God is with you. As disappointing as you have found yourself, as much disappointment as you are feeling at a point in time, be it known that God has no pleasure in the death of those who are disobedient to him. He doesn't. And so he's with you, and he just wants you to hold out your hand, and he will meet you halfway. He just wants us to be obedient to him. And so we have, from the words of Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Are you fearful? Then inspiration, it says, fear not. Then it goes on, are you dismayed?
For I am thy God. I will
strengthen. So he's saying, Be not dismayed. Inspiration is saying, no matter what you are going through, do not be dismayed.
For I am with
for you. I am thy God. Be assured that in this wicked world, in this imperfect world, where things go wrong so many times, that we have a God. We are not without the presence of God in our sojourn of life. And God says,
I will strengthen thee.
I will strengthen thee. You know, I sort of like how this verse puts things. It starts off with some nots. It says, fear not. Be not dismayed. And then it says, you know, let me leave the negative out of it. You know, I remember listening to a friend of mine say he was trying to name his book. I did not want to say not. Didn't want to give a negative tone. So he placed it positively. And here inspiration is saying, yes, fear. Fear not. Dismayed, be not dismayed. But then he goes on and says, I will strengthen thee. Yes! You see it? God will strengthen us in the midst of whatever anguish, pain, disappointment that we are going through. Yes, He will strengthen us. Then in respect to help, and not, he's putting that positively. I will strengthen you. Yes. I will help you. Yes. And so we want to leave in your mind from inspiration that no matter what we are going through, God will strengthen us. God will help us even in the worst of worst. You know, Judas, he was in a state. He was with Christ. He was numbered with the 11. He would have heard what Christ said. Probably part of all of what he did was because he believed that Jesus Christ was God, the Son of God. And figured that Christ would get out of this. Maybe. I don't know. But no matter what the disappointment is, let us recognize that God can strengthen us. That if we reach out to Him, He will help us. Yes, He will. You know, the King James says, yea, that's yes. He will strengthen us. He will help us. Is the passage finished?
Yeah. I will uphold thee.
I will uphold thee.
With the right
I will,
hand.
You know, when I say it this way, it's on our way. I will hold you up. But it's not rubbing us. I will uphold you. Yes, you feel down. But the Almighty God will hold you up. In the midst of your deepest pain, in the midst of your deepest disappointment, the Almighty God will hold you up. Don't let the commentary ever be of you that life was so hard that I gave up. That's what I want to leave indelible in your mind from inspiration. That no matter what the disappointment, don't be like Judas. Do not be like him. Because even when we are at our lowest ebb, when we are at the lowest of lowest, you know, they just say the nadir of our existence, then he can strengthen us. He can hold us up. He can bring us to the zenith, to the highest point of our existence. From low, he can make us giants for him if we but allow him in our lives. He will strengthen. He will help. He will uphold. Yes, hopelessness is not something that you need to harbor, because the Almighty God wants to give you hope. But it's not just Isaiah that has spoken to us in respect to the hope that we can have and the hope that we should have. But Jeremiah, I like Jeremiah, another major prophet. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, we have him echoing some profound truth, that it would do us well in a state of hopelessness to reflect. I'm going to be asking that we have it read from both the King James Version and the New International Version. It's saying the same thing, but I just like how both have put it. It gives dimension to the truth that we have in Scripture. You are there? Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. King James verse.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Yes. You know, when we hear of persons who take their lives, you know, and we have had a couple in our last couple of weeks. In fact, you know, weeks ago I had this prepared, and, you know, right there, you know, we saw in the media, you know, this lady who went over that bridge. You know. And what we understand is that she was there for hours, thinking, you know, and thoughts. You know, you can just imagine thoughts that were probably going through her mind. Her mind. But, you know, inspiration is saying thought. Thought is something that God has concerning us. Read again for me. Pick up at the start of the verse.
For I know. The thoughts that I think toward you.
You see, God has thoughts concerning you. And God says, I know. You know, and sometimes what happens is that we don't know. So that's why we have to go to Scripture. Because Scripture can encourage us. We need to go to the Word of God. We cannot just rely on what we think and what we feel and even what others say, but what does God says? And says, God says, I know I have good thoughts for you. Read on.
Saith the Lord.
Yeah, God is speaking. I have thoughts for you. I have plans for you. Read.
Thoughts of peace.
You know, what I have in mind for you is peace. As much as you are in turmoil, as much as you are pained and disappointed, I have thoughts of peace for you. I have such thoughts for you. But is it only peace? No. Read on.
And not of evil.
So my thoughts concerning you is not that you do evil to yourself. My thoughts for you is one that transcends just here. True peace, not evil. That's not my intent concerning you.
Read on. Not evil. Read. But I have great expectations.
To give you an expected end.
Read again.
And not of evil, to give you an expected end.
I do not have evil thoughts, but I want you to live in expectation. Don't give up. I want you to have a good end. I don't want you taking your own life. I have thoughts of great expectation, a good end for you. You have it in the NIV? You don't have it in the NIV. The NIV, you know, sort of frames it not so much in terms of thoughts, but more so in terms of plans. It's the same idea, but it's saying in the NIV that for I know, not just the thoughts, but the plan I have for you. God has a mission. God wants you to be a part of the mission. Why end it? You know, we had the great Apostle Paul. When his days were numbered, when his time was soon to end, he had a turmoil because he recognized that though he was ready to go, that there was work to be done. And so we can join in that mission to seek and to save the lost. Why cut it off? You may be feeling empty because you're not joining in that plan that God wants you to be a part of. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans? Plans to prosper you. God wants to prosper us, not to harm you. God does not want you to be harmed. Plans to give you hope. God wants you to have hope. He does not want you to stay in a state of hopelessness. God has plans to give you hope and a future. There is a future for you. Don't cut it off. No matter what the disappointment is. Yes, Judas, he went and he hanged himself. He cut it off. But there was a future for him. His future that somebody else had to take on. His bishopric, another had to take. There was great purpose for his life. No matter what the disappointment, we should never let go of the Almighty God. He has plans beyond thoughts, plans for the future. Plans for the future for you. Thought I would have gotten through this. Do I have time to bring in, you know, we have looked at what Isaiah had to say concerning hopelessness, what Jeremiah had to say through inspiration about helplessness. David, oh boy, David, the man after God's own heart, he too had a commentary concerning hopelessness. You know, I'm not going to take the temptation. I'm going to break. And I'm going to pick up on that thought next week. God's willing. You know, we're going to look at Psalm 55, you know, where, you know, he talks about sustaining us. You know, but he also spoke in Psalm 34. And there's much learning in those. You know, the passage we read earlier, let me just do this part. And possibly you will want to come and hear the details. In Psalm 55, passage that was read by Brother Bean earlier, here we have a situation where David was pained. There was terror, turmoil in him. But he was able to look to God, and it made a big difference. I'm resisting the temptation. I'm resisting the temptation. So I'm going to wrap up. But let me go back to a point made earlier, just to make a point, because we face so much disappointment at times when we feel hopeless. When we recognize that sometimes things have not worked out the way we wanted it to. When we place our trust in things material, we have to watch it. Because material things will fail us. You know, I think years ago, Brother Mitchell had shared with us some research in respect to certain countries where suicide is high. And you realize that it's almost like suicide happens more with the rich than to the poor. It happens more in developed countries than in developing countries like ours. And among the things is that material things tend to fool us, to give us a false sense of hope. And then when that shatters, then there's nothing for us to hold on to. You know, in one of the cases that we referenced, you know, we had a situation where person was at war and a woman with a pot swung it and hit down the man. And because of that, he realized that he could not escape. For pride, you know, the man said, "Let it be said that a woman kill him and kill himself." Scripture meant that. What? Kill himself. Pride. But can I segue from that? Brother O'Neill starts. He said he was going to segue
from that song to song number 4. Sometimes we invest in a significant other. Sometimes there is great love that we outpour to another. And when that is shattered, we feel hopeless. While we should invest and give love all, let us also have God in the center of our existence. Let us keep God in the midst of our relationships, that even when disappointment comes that way, even when death causes a separation, that we have reason to go on. Life is rough all over. There is disappointment all over. You know, one of the things that's going to come out when we go back to Psalm is like David was saying, you know, I face disappointment. I face pain, more pain than disappointment, with my enemies. But when my friends, more disappointment. When self, more disappointment. But you know, I think I'm not yielding to my thought that I say I'm leaving it. I'm yielding to the temptation and I'm stopping. But that was a part of the lesson that I was excited about. But God's willing, when we come back next week, we can delve right back there. But as I close, I want to, and as the brother prepares his song of encouragement, there's something we said earlier. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that term, in Christ, we have hope in Christ. In Christ. If you are not a part of the family of God, then you need to get in Christ. You need to obey His will. You need to, having heard about His love that caused Jesus Christ to leave the splendor of glory and come to earth to deal with your sin problem, because He has plans and thoughts for you, then you need to believe that He is that Son of God. You need to make that change, that make that repentant move. Yeah, Judas did that move. He repented, brought back, make a change. Yeah, he did well there. But he did not go further. You need to go further. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you need to be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. That's when you get into Christ. Then you can join in the plans that God has for you. Plans for you to join Him in a mission to save others. What a great purpose, no grander purpose that we can engage in than to be working, to be fellow heirs and co-workers with Christ in His kingdom. If you are a part of the family of God and you recognize that even though you have started in that journey of hope, you have let go, then today you can join back in that purpose and that plan that God has for you.
And though you are bombarded too as children of God with challenges, let us never lose hope. Let us hold on to the Almighty God. If only in this life you have hope in Christ, you are of all men most miserable. Our hope transcends this life. But there's no fast forward button. Let us journey with him. Let us journey with him and never, no matter how hopeless things may be, let us draw hope that comes from the Almighty God. What's the song of encouragement, brother? What's the number? Song number 39. Let us be standing.